Every death caused by a fire is a tragedy, but tragic isn't an adequate word to describe the fire at a Brazil nightclub last weekend. Brazilian authorities have since shut down clubs throughout the country for safety violations. Sunday's fire at a club called Kiss killed at least 235 people, and police say it was probably started when a band performing there set off a flare that ignited soundproofing foam. Those details are eerily reminiscent of the Station nightclub fire in West Warwick, Rhode Island, which happened 10 years ago this month. That fire began when pyrotechnics set off by the heavy metal band Great White ignited the club's soundproofing. 100 people died, and 200 more had often terrible injuries. John Berlich was one of the lead attorneys for those victims and their families, and he did an extensive examination of that fire for his book Killer Show. When we spoke with Berlich last September, we asked whether he believed that another fire of that magnitude could happen again.
Absolutely. I hate to think that it will, but I know from past experience that it will. Within 3 years of the Station fire, there were 3 nightclub fires around the world sparked by pyrotechnics.
So he was right. They continue. Today, we want to listen to an excerpt of our conversation with John Berlich, beginning with his description of some of the factors that contributed to the loss of life at the Station nightclub fire.
Some of the most important were, obviously, the use of illegal pyrotechnics within a building, the use of absolutely unsuitable flammable foam coverings on the club's walls, and overcrowding of the club with inadequate exits that would limit egress.
You say that if even one of the things on this list had been done correctly instead of incorrectly, the fire may not have happened, or at least there wouldn't have been such loss of life. Could just one difference in this chain of events really have dramatically changed the outcome?
It really would have. The use of pyrotechnics certainly sparked this. Certainly, had the walls not been covered with what one analyst called solid gasoline, that too would have saved the patrons.
Solid gasoline because the foam was made of a chemical that basically was almost like an accelerant in a way.
Absolutely an accelerant. Not only did it burn rapidly, but it dripped flaming materials so that almost a liquid napalm fell on the poor patrons.
Right. You have these incredible descriptions of molten plastic falling from the ceiling onto these concertgoers as this fire takes over in something like 90 seconds.
That's correct. Really, if people weren't out in a matter of 90 seconds, they stood very little chance of safe escape.
When large numbers of people start to realize that there is a fire, they race for the exits. And you write, that might have been an effective way to get out, except someone fell.
Most of the patrons at the station did what most people do in a fire situation, that is, attempt to exit through the door they came in by. In this case, most everyone rushed toward the double main doors. Apparently, someone fell at the front of the pack, and once that person fell, people attempted to get over that person, bodies piled up, and eventually persons tipped like dominoes in the front hallway from floor to ceiling to the point where no one could escape from that route.
And they were stacked so tightly that you describe a woman who was saved because she was pulled out, but in the process, her pants slid off because she was so tightly wedged in there.
Absolutely. People were wedged in there so tightly that they couldn't escape of their own volition. And these are people with their head and shoulders and arms extended out the door. Only through the help of brave people braving the flames and pulling them out, with or without articles of their clothing, were they able to escape.
Can you talk about what some of the lasting injuries of these fire victims have been?
Several of the more seriously injured victims lost limbs or an eye or facial features or ears to the fire.
One thing I was struck by is they weren't just inhaling smoke, they were inhaling toxic smoke.
What we call smoke is really a combination of suspended particles, unburned fuel, and byproducts of combustion. And in the case of these plastics, actually poisonous gases like cyanide. So a lot of these people were felled by that combination. And when I say felled, we're talking about almost instantaneous knockdown after one or two lungfuls.
You know, one of the most basic questions, which is whether Great White, the band, had permission to let off those pyrotechnics, ultimately doesn't get answered. Why can that not be answered?
Both the band and the club owners were at loggerheads as to whether permission was actually given. The band insisted that they had had permission to set off pyrotechnics. The club owners steadfastly denied. I think that the evidence is pretty clear that if explicit permission was not given for this performance, it was long tolerated and encouraged at this club that bands use pyrotechnics. So I have little doubt that permission was at least tacit.
And this was a band that liked to use pyrotechnics in its shows, so you would probably assume it would do it at this one as well.
Yes, and certainly on this tour. The band, Great White, had only begun using pyrotechnics on this particular tour. And the history of this tour was such that where a venue said no pyrotechnics, they didn't use it. Where they allowed it, they used it.
You write about this really fascinating crowd behavior phenomenon called commitment, and it gets at this idea that sometimes people don't react the way you might think they would when they see a fire. Would you tell us what that is and how that played into what happened here?
Sure. The term commitment is not mine. It's actually a term of Guylaine Proulx, a professor in Canada who studied crowd behavior in emergencies, particularly fires. And Dr. Proulx coined the term commitment, and she was referring to the crowd's commitment to the entertainment activity that they had paid good money for. We're all in denial if we see something unusual. We'd rather think it was part of the show. We paid a lot of money for these tickets, and no one is going to rush out. But that very commitment to the activity is what costs people, sometimes fatally, many seconds.
And in this case, as you said, because they had very little time to decide, something like 90 seconds or less, there was no time to spare.
Absolutely. And the 90 seconds was time within which to exit, not to decide. Clearly, if one didn't decide in the opening seconds of the ignition to leave, they stood a very poor chance.
I want to talk a little more about the foam soundproofing that ignited, because there were actually two layers of foam, and it was that combination that became so lethal. Would you tell us about that combination?
Within the so-called drummer's alcove, there was both the egg crate polyurethane foam, which everyone saw catch fire, but beneath it was a more dense polyethylene foam, much as you would find in a swimming pool kickboard or something of that nature. The combination of the two types of foam at the station were a particularly lethal combination because the outside layer, the polyurethane egg crate foam, caught fire very easily from sparks, but given the natural course, would burn out rather quickly. The underlying foam, the polyethylene foam, is much harder to ignite, but has a much higher energy yield for a much longer time. As it turns out, the irony here was that polyurethane foam is the perfect kindling for polyethylene, and here it formed a fatal combination.
We have heard people say that since the station fire, which of course got an enormous amount of news coverage in New England, whenever they go to a public event now, they look in advance to see where the exits are. Are there other things you think people should be keeping in mind, lessons learned from the station?
Absolutely. When you come to a venue, look at the building. Is it well maintained? Observe the staff. Do they look like they've had any training at all? As you make your way to your seat, note if there are any pinch points that you go through.
Pinch points where if you try to get out, people, it might become a bottleneck?
Exactly. And say, if I had to reverse this process, how long would it take? And as you mentioned, once you get to your seat, the most important thing is identify the nearest exit and share that information with your party.
That's attorney John Berlich. His book, Killer Show, is about the Station Nightclub fire in Rhode Island. We spoke with him last September. You can hear our full conversation at hereandnow.org.